The ground you walk on here in the Northwest might feel solid, but it's actually still under construction. That's according to geologist Kirk Johnson. He's behind a three-part NOVA series on the origins of North America. And he told KUOW's Kim Malcolm how the West Coast, the most recent addition to the continent, might change in the future.
It's going to keep moving and shaking for sure. I mean, that's how the West Coast has been growing, is by the addition of land to the West as these island arcs come and smash into the coast and as the subduction quakes happen and as volcanoes erupt their gooey remains of what got driven underneath the continents. So it's going to be a fun ride for the next, I don't know, 50 million years, something like that. But I mean, like, what's cool about the show that we do, we talk about the geology of all of North America, and we talk about how there's mountain ranges that used to be where New York City is today. And so New York City 400 million years ago is kind of like Seattle today. So you can time travel also by going to places that are like what places will be in the future or like what places were in the past.
Can you guess what Seattle's going to look like, say, 50 million years from now?
Yeah, imagine it'll be a lot further from the ocean, for instance, because you're going to get more stuff slapping on to the outside of the coast, and so Seattle will kind of slowly
move inland.
Move inland, or actually the coastline will move seaward, basically. And it's an interesting question, what's going to happen with its elevation. I mean, we have things like the Seattle Fault, which is a very weird fault that cuts from Bainbridge across pretty much down I-90 and through Issaquah. And that puppy was active about 800 years ago. And there's nice fault scarps. When that one jumped, it jumped like Alki Beach jumped 20 feet in a day. But it would have been a great day.
That would have been an impressive day.
Good day for fish and chips at Alki.
So we are surrounded by a lot of natural beauty here in this part of the world. You got the Cascades on one side. You got the Olympics on the other. Mountains, water, islands. I moved here a few years ago and was gobsmacked by the natural beauty around us. But what do you see when you look at those mountains and the islands and the water?
Well, you know, I grew up in Seattle, and my parents moved here in 1960, so I watched the Space Needle get built, and my dad and mom were big hikers. And so there are childhood pictures of me and Mount Rainier and in the Olympics and the Cascades and
sure,
on the tide pools. And what I just love that landscape, and I loved finding stuff. I would find, you know, little rocks and shells, fossils, arrowheads, all that kind of stuff. And I left this place knowing about how to find things, and I became a geologist, and I came back to this place. And I was like, man, this is the most amazing place in the world. So when I look at the mountains in Washington, I say, well, there's different kinds of mountains, and you have different reasons for those mountains being here, and they're being pushed up even now. And what makes those crazy shapes in Puget Sound? This place is an amazing place when it comes to the why question. Like, why does this landscape look the way it is?
And why does it? I mean, you see it's in movement right now, even as we speak, right?
Well yeah. I mean, this is the thing. It's like there are so many different cool geologic stories in Washington. I could go on for hours. And that's just one state in one country in North America. So the whole this is really great for me to start here in Seattle, because I started thinking there a couple of years ago, like, why are all those long bays in Puget Sound? Mm-hmm. And as a geologist, you just go read the geological literature because somebody's figured it out. And they just don't have a very good PR agent because they never told anybody why those things are there. But you can figure it out quite easily. And those are made by pressurized water being squirted out from the bottom of a gigantic ice sheet and flowing uphill and over to Aberdeen. So it's like, who knew?
That's a ways.
Right. And it's one of those things that it's like so cool. And right in front of your face, and no one talks about it.
There has been a lot of talk about the possibility of us experiencing the big one mm-hmm. recently. Should we be excited or terrified as we look to the future?
I think that being excited is always the right answer. I mean, being terrified is almost useless. I mean, fear, in my mind, doesn't create much in the way of creativity. You just kind of run screaming out of the room. And there's plenty of things that you can do. You can learn more about what is the risk, the actual risk. You might have stuff fall over. Your building might fall over, depending on how well you're attached to your foundations. And if you haven't attached your water, you know, your water heater to the ground, you might light a fire. So there are things you can do that are pretty simple. And if you do have one of these events, which we'll sure to have at some point in the next couple of decades, we'll have some kind of earthquakes. it's good to be ready for what happens if you don't have any power for a couple of weeks or a couple of months. You know, what would you do? It'd be nice to have some spare water and, you know, just go camping.
And further out beyond that, beyond the immediate event, is there something else you're looking forward to seeing beyond that?
Well, I mean, as a geologist, I have a morbid curiosity about things. And I was utterly delighted when the top of Mount St. Helens blew off. I mean, we didn't see that coming, right? I mean, like, there was, oh, yeah, there's some activity there and stuff. But I remember the day, I mean, I was driving across the country and my dad was mowing his lawn in Bellevue. And he heard this thing that sounded like a basketball hitting the side of the house. And it was the explosion of the top half of Mount St. Helens blowing up. And up until that point, people weren't taking serious the fact that volcanoes actually work. I mean, we were kind of saying these volcanoes are broken. They're not actually delivering eruptions. But that one just blew up. And it was a real wake-up call for us on the West Coast. Of like, yeah, you know, look at Crater Lake. That used to be a mountain, too. It stopped, blew off. So Mount St. Helens did it. So I'm really curious about Mount Rainier, which is a really big mountain. I mean, that is a profoundly large surface full of glaciers. And if that thing goes, it'll make some pretty spectacular events. So as a geologist, I'm really fascinated by volcanoes because they are really fast in geology. They can blow up in a day, and they don't last for very long either. They kind of weather away. So volcanoes come and go. They're kind of earth acne.
What treatment would one apply to the surface of the planet?
I'm sure there's a volcano cream you can buy at your local grocery store.
Kirk Johnson directs the National Museum of Natural History. He's also the host of NOVA's Origin, The Making of North America. It airs on KCTS tomorrow night. He spoke with KUOW's Kim Malcolm.